Future presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Marchin.
Wake me up inside.
Talking about your second favorite Matthew today, I hope, as we review Daredevil Born Again, as well as the press conference that Eric and I attended for the new Marvel television show, which is sort of a fourth season, sort of a first season. I guess it's the first season of Daredevil Born Again, but a successor to the previous Netflix series.
Maybe back an evolution.
Ooh, a little teaser. Love it. Eric, how are you doing?
Matt, I'm tired. I am tired.
Yeah, we've had a busy weekend, a busy week. I'm feeling that as well. I skipped a screening this morning just because I've been go since last week. And we'll be talking about some of our other adventures on another episode. But yeah, you've been nonstop as well.
Yeah, and even just, you know, I mean, I'll just mention it now. I'm going to the UK in about a week and a half. And so it's just like getting everything done work-wise. And when I say work, I mean for the podcast, for Rogers, but then everything else in terms of organizing, it takes a little bit of time, and especially because it's so quick. So I'm not trying to think about the trip really until maybe next week, just to kind of get everything else done that I need to. And, you know, this is one of those things where I'm not wearing the Scorsese shirt for this.
Ooh,
which is,
yeah. So when we did the video version, people kind of had an idea of how you felt about, yes, a Marvel movie, whether the Scorsese shirt, the Marvel Studios Martin Scorsese shirt came out. But today Eric is just wearing his best green plaid shirt, which has nothing to do with Daredevil.
Yeah, in solidarity with the Hulk. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great. So yeah, on today's episode, we'll be talking about, Eric and I went to a press conference, so we'll talk a little bit about
virtual. Press conference.
Well, I mean, we still went. We attended virtually. Yeah. So we'll talk about what was said during that, and kind of our it focused a lot on Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, as well as some of the showrunners. And then we'll be doing kind of a review in progress of this series. So because it is it's a beefy series, because they're kind of learning from, like you said, a evolution of that Netflix show, which was 13 episodes, I believe, each season. This is 9 episodes. So a little bit longer than what Marvel has done in previous things. Usually they're 9 episode series, or their longer ones were 30 minute episodes, where these are full 45 minute to an hour episodes. So it's a lot of content. So Eric got to watch the first 2 episodes. I have seen about 6 episodes of the 9. I wasn't able to finish them all just because of that busy weekend and things like that. But so this will be kind of a spoiler free review in progress of, you know, 2 to 6 episodes of this series. So I would have loved to finish all 9 before we recorded this, but we wanted to make sure we got this out as those first 2 episodes are available for everyone to stream, which they are available for you right now to stream on Disney Plus. So the first 2 episodes are out right now, and then it'll be weekly rollouts for the next 7 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That's the rigmarole out of the way. Eric, where do you want to start? I guess we can start with the press conference, because that was, at that point, we had seen 2 episodes, which are the 2 episodes that you have seen.
Yes.
And then we attended this virtual press conference, which featured a lot of the showrunners. It had Justin Benson, Aaron Moorhead, 2 of the directors of the series, who also directed episodes of Loki, as well as Moon Knight. So they are becoming kind of Marvel television veterans, and probably directed 2 of the better series with Loki and this, if I'm going to spoil some of my thoughts. But how'd you feel about the press conference in general? Anything stand out from what was said? Anything like that?
Not really. This was the one press conference where it felt pretty much, you know, cut and dry in terms, yeah, of how the conversation was. Okay, this is a soft reboot. We're taking elements from the Netflix show, we're still honoring those, you know, three seasons, and I guess The Punisher as well. And
Defenders, yeah.
And Defenders, and it's not that it's going to be canon, but it's maybe not going to be like every detail is going to line up from, you know, the that franchise. But the tone of it is interesting as well, and we'll get more into that when we get into the review. But watching the press conference, you can tell that Vincent D'Onofrio is a huge fan of not only the character he's playing, but of the Marvel franchise as a whole. And he cares about, you know, the Frank Miller story that this is the title is based on, even though the actual narrative isn't. And so when you're watching, you know, him talk about it, there's this excitement where an enthusiasm where he's really caring about what he's talking about, and specifically, you know, the Kingpin as a man with the plan that comes up a couple of times in that press conference. And then Charlie Cox talking a little bit about where, you know, Matt Murdock is now in comparison to when, you know, the Netflix series ended and has come back. And there's this conversation about, you know, gentrification and rebuilding and dismantling. Even the opening credits of the show, you know, visually indicate that this is what they're kind of doing. They're putting together the pieces of what worked and trying to make something that connects within the MCU a little bit more consistently, because the original series still was in the MCU. They referenced the New York stuff in the newspaper, but it wasn't maybe directly involved. Like, it was an outlier to the rest of the MCU, where now they're moving it back in. And there was this conversation about a photo or a series of panels that Frank Miller had created with the Kingpin, where it was coming from Spider-Man into Hell's Kitchen and into the Daredevil world, and the way that the lighting shifts and changes the character from more sort of cartoony and colorful to sinister and foreboding. And so that's the conversation that they're having here with this show, where it does feel like they're trying almost to split the difference in a way, where they know that it, like, this is a much darker part of the MCU compared to the rest of it, you know. And that's the one thing, we'll get into it more with the review. They also were very careful to not spoil anything in the conference, which is going to be difficult to do.
Even in our review.
Yeah, because like there are things that happen that are set in
promotion.
The crux
of the series is based on something that could be a spoiler. Yeah. And everyone was, by the time people are listening to this, the episodes are out there and you guys have probably watched those first two episodes, so you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we still want to dance around it just in case. Yeah, I mean, I took the same takeaways. You know, I thought it was a pretty standard, you know, press conference. That's like that's non-derogatory for the most part. Like, it was just, you know, seeing people who are passionate about bringing this series back. It's been a long time since that Netflix series. They're trying to both, you know, like you mentioned, honor the history there and the hardcore fans who loved that show, while still evolving it into something that works better into the modern MCU, taking that continuity and making sure it either works or slightly tweaking it, but it all feeling like it was that show. And what surprised me the most is that they were not totally open and candid about some of the rumors about them having to reshoot a large chunk of the series. But there were, you know, Brad Winterbaum, Sana Aminat, and the rest of the team talked about how when we had to come back and we really listened to the cast and what they thought, because they knew the series so well by working on those previous three seasons plus the spinoffs and things like that. That was the stuff that surprised me most, where they were pretty open about, we kind of took a look at what we had and realized we needed to kind of tweak this series to make sure it was up to the standards we had for this. And we don't know how much was changed, but they did bring in Benson and Moorhead later in the process to reshoot a lot of you know, at least those first episodes and I think the finale, and then they kind of reshot a bunch of things in between. That surprised me that they talked about all of that, but it just showed that it seemed like they really wanted to make sure that this was good. And you can just see with Brad Winterbaum, especially being kind of like the Kevin Feige of the TV stuff, I do think it really helps to have this one guy who's kind of overseeing a lot of the television stuff. And I really do see a shift even in how they're talking about it. And once we get into the review, how their series are going to be presented, that I think is making them more television.
Moorhead.
Like, yeah. Moorhead televisual. And what I mean by that is, like, I think they learned, you know, that original Netflix series, feels very different than everything else in the MCU. And we'll get into our review where this feels like the MCU, but feels a lot like that show with the production value, I'd say, of the MCU. And I'm not saying that the Netflix production value was bad or anything. It was just very different. And I always had like not a love-hate relationship with that Netflix series, but it never quite clicked with me. Like, I really liked that first season, and then it kind of lost me in the second, and I never went back to the third. And then I just kind of fell off of all of those Netflix series when I really didn't like, you know, Iron Fist or Luke Cage or Jessica Jones. Like, I kind of fell off a lot of those, which just made me kind of sour on all of those Netflix series. But I do think that they learned from that and from their kind of missteps with the you know, Marvel Disney Plus shows over the last, you know, 5 years, that it should be television, right? And I think they understand that now. And I think working on this Netflix, this successor to that Netflix series, where that was very much a TV series, it didn't feel like a long movie. And that's what I'm kind of getting from all of this, is like the producers, the directors, everyone kind of understands that we need to kind of treat this more like television and not a long movie. And that means episodic storylines. That means full season arcs that might continue into further seasons and things like that. And they talked a little bit, you know, about that in the press conference. And I just thought all of that was interesting. And, you know, I really think I agree with you with Vincent D'Onofrio talking about how he really loved Loki season 2 and it blew him away. And talking to Ethan Hawke about working with Benson and Moorhead on that series.
On Moon Knight.
On Moon Knight. And then him talking about how he loved Loki season 2. And that's why he wanted to bring them on to this. And he suggested them for this. And then they already had a good relationship by working on those series. So I thought that was all really interesting too. And then the other main talking point was, like, you can tell that they're really kind of say, like, this is mature, like that Netflix series. Like, we didn't cut any corners when it comes to the violence or the subject matter or anything like that, which I think you're seeing more of in this evolution of superhero Moorhead content. Yeah. especially with like James Gunn's DCU and now the evolution of what the MCU is becoming. I think they're less protective in making it all family friendly, I guess, where you can have people like, we know, we've seen, you know, different
Deadpool and Wolverine specifically,
yeah,
doing well.
Specifically that, but then even bringing characters into this series that might not be R-rated characters, right? They might be from a series, you know, we heard Swordsman from, you know, Hawkeye is going to be in this season and things like that, where, and that's not a spoiler, that was confirmed, everyone, on like a news thing. but that's not even a huge spoiler anyway, but things like that, where you can, it's very dark and violent, but you can bring in these elements of this MCU world. And it all feels weirdly like it fits. It doesn't feel like it's completely out of pocket to make it so violent or anything. And I don't think it ever goes overboard either when we get into our review. But yeah, you know, pretty standard press conference. It was quick, in and out. Like, everyone seemed excited to talk about the show and excited that they're bringing it back, and really wanted to hammer home that we took our time with this. We looked at what we had. We came back and really wanted to make this, you know, live up to the expectations people had. And I think people really like Charlie Cox as this character, as we've seen him kind of pop up in the MCU multiple times now, before this series even. So it's
kind of
nice.
With your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like I think he has more appearances in the MCU than Brie Larson now, right? Yeah. So, and that's kind of wild. And for so it's nice for him to get his flowers as well and get, you know, this big series and bring this show back that I think was people really, really loved. So, yeah, it was just good to hear everyone kind of be excited about the show and but pretty standard stuff overall.
He also mentioned, Charlie Cox, that the scenes that he has with John Bernthal, that Bernthal would write new dialogue for certain scenes and go over them with Charlie and with Charlie Cox. And he didn't even end up using, you know, the
rehearsed script.
So stuff like that, I think, is interesting as well. But I'm glad you brought up the transparency of it all, because that was confusing looking at what the show is in terms of how it's put together and some of the casts, and because I thought they had scrapped what they originally shot entirely. Like, I thought it was something where they were literally starting from.
It was, I think they reshot most of it, but
yeah, but there's an actor who passed away passed away back in like 2023. Right. Mm-hmm. So they must have shot that in like 2022 and they're keeping that in the show. Like, I honestly thought that they had like just got rid of it all because it wasn't testing well. And that is like the one thing we've talked about before with Marvel, is that they continually clean up their messes and they don't
tinkerers.
They don't necessarily let things play out once they've shot it, like just let it play as it lies. And like, that's the thing where it's like, you could say, oh, well, that's great because they know how to fix what's wrong or can, you know, create a basically like a damage control group in this world. But there's a feeling of like, okay, well, maybe you just need to accept that not everything you make is going to be perfect. And the more you tinker with something, maybe it's not for the best, because it does limit certain aspects of it, or it confines character arcs in a way. And again, I'm dancing around certain things once we get into the review, but it did feel like there was a couple character beats and moments that didn't play truthful to the characters. And like you were saying with the Netflix show, there was something about that series, because I fell off of it after at the beginning of season two, where it felt almost like it was trying too hard to be the darker, you know, cousin to the rest of the MCU, where there was this feeling of though it was almost being edgelordy in a way, where it's like, look how, like, you know, messed up and violent this is, and, you know, isn't this extreme, and, you know, we're doing the one take old boy reference, and,
sure,
and it just felt like it was a little too much, and like it was trying too hard to be provocative instead of just like letting the series play out in terms of its narrative format. And with this show, it is very much a procedural. It is a basically almost Law and Order episode that, you know, that has a connective tissue.
Law and Order MCU.
It does. It really does feel like that. And I think that actually will benefit it to get, you know, our parents' generation to watch it, because it'll pull people in while it also works. Like, I don't think they'll ever, you know, you were mentioning before, like, it works when they're bringing in other characters from the rest of the MCU. They'll never bring in, like, say, Howard the Duck or something like that.
Sure, yeah.
But I think within reason, you know,
that's more of a She-Hulk thing, right?
Yeah, where, but She-Hulk, will be interesting in terms of if they bring in Tatiana Maslany into this side of the show, because do they have her Hulk out, or do they leave her as Jessica?
And you could just Jennifer. Yeah, it's okay. Jessica Jones also probably be in the series at some point. Let's just get into the review of the episodes then. Yeah, so Eric has seen 2, I have seen 6, and Eric's spot on with it. I'm surprised at how much of a legal procedural it is, while still being exciting and having great action sequences. But I'll echo kind of what I said earlier, but I'll say it in more of a review form. Like, I really think that it's amazing that when you're like, oh, they finally made a great series. And I've liked a lot of Disney Plus stuff. I fucking love Loki. I love WandaVision. What this has you know, in similarity to WandaVision and even She-Hulk to an extent too, is when they're making a TV show and understand it's a TV show and do what's best for a TV show is when they make good TV shows. Because what they have a problem with is making 6-hour movies or 4-hour, 5-hour movies and trying to chop them up into 30, 40 minute chunks. And they don't have episode arcs. They just kind of end and then start again. And you're going, what the fuck is going on? It's like, it's so much easier to process a television show when it's traditionally what makes TV great is that a single episode you can watch and it tells a story, right? It's why we get so annoyed with part ones and part twos in movies is because it just ends halfway through and rarely you get a full arc. There are, you know, examples where that is not the case. A part one can still tell a full story, blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah,
Spider-Verse.
But yeah. And I think in this case, because it's so episodic, kind of like what She-Hulk was, WandaVision was similar, where each episode is sort of self-contained, where it tells a full story, whether it's this legal procedural kind of court case of the week kind of thing. And then also does what television does great, which is has a season-long arc where each episode there's storylines that can continue, but you still have a contained episode. So I go, oh, last week this happened and it ended, but it leaves little trickles of things to happen throughout. So throughout these six episodes, I've really noticed they nailed that with this. And I'm hoping Marvel Television and everything we've heard behind the scenes of the kind of revamp of what Marvel TV is going to be on Disney Plus is going to be more like traditional TV. Because when they started all these streaming shows and the streaming service, it was like long movies that were chopped up and it just kind of never really worked amazingly. Some of them were decent, but they've really nailed it with this. I think Charlie Cox is great. I love Vincent D'Onofrio. And again, I liked that original Daredevil series. I just kind of fell off of it, and something about the cinematography in that show and the
very
the dark
digital
kind of, yeah, but it's also dark, and like it's something about this nailed that middle ground of feeling like a glossy MCU show but still feeling like it has the essence of what they were trying to go for in that original series. The production values feel higher because I know this was early Netflix original stuff too.
It's almost like a Spike TV thing where the Daredevil show from Netflix reminded me of something that would be on Spike TV back in the day.
Yeah. And that, and you know, people might disagree with that and they might like that kind of grittier, maybe cheaper looking kind of thing. But they really, it feels expensive. It feels expansive. I like the court case of the week. It's exciting. Like the procedural kind of legal stuff is interesting.
He's a lawyer. Week. I mean, yeah. Lean into that. And that's what exactly. The show is doing. And it does feel like, okay, you know, we're looking at Matt Murdock's life because, you know, you have these two characters and this isn't spoiling anything because it's in the trailers and, you know, both the Kingpin and Daredevil are basically at a stalemate at this point in their, you know, trajectories in their lives and their paths that, you know, they have to be, you know, Wilson Fisk and Matt Murdock. And,
yeah.
You know, if and either one steps out of line, the other one can call them on it. And, you know, that's where some of I mean, obviously what's going on now in New York with Mayor Eric Adams and even like the mm-hmm. Trump analogies to
yeah, totally.
And are there to even when, you know, the chief of police uses the word thug, like it's just, you know, it's being very blunt with the commentary that it's playing with politically speaking. But I did like the diner scene because it's basically them doing a riff on Heat. Right. Yeah. Like it's De Niro and Pacino, these two icons, and then the icons within the MCU sitting down and having a fairly civilized but still, you know, creating the terms of this agreement of they know who each other are mm-hmm. and we know what these characters are both capable and of and what they mean to each other. And so they're feeling each other out for this new series. And within that, you have, as you were saying before, it's a very clean narrative structure for each episode where it plays within the box of, okay, 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour at max, but it knows to tell the full story within that time frame and then, you know, have certain threads that will evolve over the season as a whole. I you know, I know you've seen more and there are the other episodes available. It is fascinating to see how people react to only a couple of episodes, you know, and say like definitively, this is great television when you've only seen one or two episodes and making that judgment as a whole, I think is something that's a little bit tricky to do. We've talked about this before, where when you have only a certain number of episodes or you've only seen a little bit, it's harder to judge television as a whole if you don't have it all. You know, like I think like it's, there's some positives here. Like I think the procedural elements do work. I like the idea of, you know, them having to deviate from their alter egos and try to exist in the world and sort of fly the straight and narrow. There is also another part of it that does feel like, okay, the opening scene of the first episode reminds you of the style choices of the original Netflix series in a certain way. I do like the aspect ratio changes and the sound design.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because it almost turns them into panels, the way that it changed.
Very comic book. And
that's
sure, yeah.
something that it lends itself to the material, but also to the origin of the adaptation, and that all works really, really well. I think some of the stuff with Michael Gandolfini is a little bit cartoonish and caricaturish.
It continues that way too. I don't love all of that, but yeah.
And there's also some strange Batman similarities, plot story arcs with obviously the mayor storyline with Kingpin because of the Penguin becoming or wanting to become the mayor.
Yeah.
And then there's also the stuff with Margarita. I'm just looking up her name.
I had it right here too.
LaViva. Margarita LaViva, who I remember her best from Adventureland as Lisa P. But she's basically... Okay, cool. Chase Meridian. In Batman Forever, like the way that she even talks about
Batman and Daredevil have always had a lot of similarities,
sure, but these like two specific plot lines, like the way that she talks about like wanting to write a book on duality, it felt like something Nicole Kidman's character would basically say to Val Kilmer.
I agree with you with all, I'm a sucker for an aspect ratio change and some good sound design. And what bums me out there is that's kind of only used in that first episode. And I've seen six of them now. And obviously the sound design is a huge part of it because of Daredevil's powers and things like that. His heightened senses, and that's continued. The aspect ratio stuff doesn't really continue. So I wonder if that's a Benson and Moorhead thing. Cause maybe it'll come back in the finale. Cause they
were stitching a lot of content or a lot of episodes together.
Yeah.
Right?
Like they directed the first episode, which has a lot of that. And then they direct 8 and 9, which I haven't got to. So maybe that stuff kind of comes back in those last couple episodes, but I did really like that. Some negatives. I think the CG is not great in that first episode. Ooh, there's some rough stuff where in this chase sequence with Daredevil and Bullseye that we've seen a little bit, they've released some clips online. Some of that doesn't look amazing. I'd say that's the biggest set piece so far in these first six episodes that I've seen. So it doesn't stand out anywhere else, really. Everything's pretty grounded and you don't really notice bad CG because they don't really have to use any bad CG. That leads me to my next point of being like, I'm shocked how little Daredevil is in this series.
That's not a bad thing.
Though. No, it's not a bad thing, but I think it will be to some people. I think you're tuning into a show that's called Daredevil Born Again. Again, not based off that Frank Miller story, but Born Again being, you know, whatever, we'll leave that. But like there's not much Daredevil in these first six episodes that I've seen. So, but there's a lot of Matt Murdock, and Matt Murdock, like you said, having to kind of be Daredevil without being Daredevil. And I know some people, that's a big criticism with Iron Man 3 with Tony Stark of not having the Iron Man suit and not really being Iron Man, but he still had to be Iron Man he had to be Tony Stark, right? And I love that stuff. But sometimes people are tuning in because the titular character is named Daredevil. So I will say that it doesn't bother me at all. I'm just surprised that I'm six episodes in and there is no Daredevil. I think the essence is there, and obviously he's doing things while like kind of as Matt trying to slowly creep his way back into like, will I become Daredevil again? And I like the slow play of it all. Like, I really do like that they're taking their time and they're focusing on him being a lawyer and this kind of rivalry with Kingpin having to be in the spotlight, to your point, and not being able to be Kingpin. He's the mayor of New York, and that's not a spoiler either. Everyone yeah. knew that was happening.
He's just Wilson. Just Wilson.
Yeah, it's just Will now. So yeah, I like all that, but I do think that that could be a negative for some people. Like, I think especially with slow playing it week to week, I could see people like, you get Daredevil in that first episode, and then you go 5 weeks without seeing him in costume at least, and he's still not in costume by episode 6. I don't think that's a spoiler, but I'm gonna say that, but I'm just surprised at how little Daredevil there is. But I think everything is super entertaining, all the court cases each week, how Matt has to kind of, you know, be a vigilante without actually being a vigilante, I think is really interesting.
He can't hide behind the mask. I think that yeah. that's the most interesting part of it, is that he's making himself complicit when he is, you know, stepping out of the shadows as Matt Murdock exactly. and still doing the Daredevil thing. But now he has to be even more careful because, you know, his own, you know, everyday life sort of reputation is on the line even more and is being closely followed. And there are some moments, without spoiling anything, where it leaves you on episode 2 that it feels like, okay, well, this is complicating Matt's life in a way that he could have at least hid behind the Daredevil mask, and now he really has to consider what he's doing as Matt and how that'll change his reputation or how that will make him complicit in some ways. And so when you're watching this show, that is more interesting to me, is that you remove, you know, the cape and the cowl, or, you know, the superhero outfit, and see the character stripped down and what they are, because he still is Daredevil. Like, he's still like, yeah. he still has this thing in
totally,
him.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Wilson Fisk. Like, he's still the Kingpin. He's still, you know, this villain, but it's not just simply a name. It's not a title. It's the individual and the psychology of the characters and the way they're exploring them. Like, even the way that I have not been the biggest fan of Vincent D'Onofrio's voice as the Kingpin. To me, it always sounds like he's on the throne and in the middle of constipation. Here, it's a little bit toned down, and it's a little bit more monotone, and it's a little bit more gravelly. And I like that more than the original series. It's just that, like, there is some of that stitching that I think it hurts a couple character moments. And I don't want to get into it in a way that, I'll just say this. Karen is the character where there's a moment between Matt and Karen that doesn't feel like it's real. Like, it doesn't feel like it would play out that way. Like, these two people know each other. They would actually have a real conversation and get down to the problem than simply just sweeping it under the rug or just kind of moving on from a situation. And it just felt like with that character, or the reason why, like, the shoehorning in of this moment is because they had to stitch in, you know, this new sequence where, like, they
Originally they weren't going to be in the series though. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the thing where, because you're involving the character and because they have this history together and the way that this one interaction plays out, you probably know what I'm talking about, Matt, as I'm mentioning it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay, these two people would have more, like, they owe each other more than just like simply like, I can't talk about this. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. And do you think that's because they had to keep a lot of the others?
Yes,
bit of the series
that is. And that's the problem. Yeah. And that's where it's like, okay, well, that's what's not going to feel. It's going to ring false. I think
I feel like a lot of that stuff will be, they reworked the beginning and the end of this series. And I think a lot of the stuff in the middle, they probably kept. Right.
And that's where the inconsistencies are.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, oh, you have this bookending of these, you know, the connection, the bridge to the original Netflix show and now to, you know, the Disney Plus series, but you still have all this stuff that wasn't actually even referencing a bunch of it. Like, it'd be interesting to know if the Bernthal stuff was newly added when Moorhead and Benson came in.
I like that they're bringing some meta narrative stuff with corrupt police officers and vigilantes, and kind of that's a lot of the stuff that's going on in New York, and, you know, some people using the Punisher symbol, that not for great reasons, and that's even in real life that was adopted. So I like bringing some
American
of that
Sniper
stuff, a lot of that stuff into the series, I think, is interesting. Matt Murdock, just a huge fuckboy, which I love. Just, you know, Karen, Jennifer Walters, this new woman in this show, just love that. I do think, like, even if I said there's not a lot of Daredevil, I want people to know, if you haven't, maybe if you've only watched these first two episodes and you're listening to this, like, there is still great bursts of action. And I think each episode is thrilling, both from the legal perspective and introducing a kind of superhero subplot. Even if Matt's not in costume, what we're saying is, like, he still is Daredevil, to Eric's point, and there is some good action sequences because of that. So I don't want people to think it's just a legal drama.
But you brought up that is a really good point, though. I think because it is called Daredevil and it's not called Matt Murdock, Attorney at Law. Like, that is going to upset people because they want to see him in the red suit. They want to see the devil horn cowl combo. And so going into this, you're getting something that strips a lot of that down and is playing basically, you know, to this, it basically is like with Batman, where, you know, like, the Batman really leaned into the detective angle of who Bruce Wayne was and who Batman was. This is playing into, you know, Matt as a counselor, as a lawyer, as somebody that suits up and has to follow within the parameters of the law. And, you know, the faux documentary stuff.
I
think it's okay. I think
for exposition, I think it's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there are some streeters that they have that are more cartoony than others.
Totally.
And sometimes, I like the look of it. Like, I don't mind the look, but, like, you'll have, like, one streeter where it'll be like,
it does feel cartoony New York, but, like, it almost feels like, I don't know, they did talk about that in the press conference as well, that they talked with some documentary filmmakers from New York that were friends with some people who worked on the show to really help them with those segments. So I do feel like they ultimately work. They do maybe fall into the cartoony New Yorker kind of side of things, as well as, I like the look of them as well, but they're these interstitials that kind of add exposition and context to, you know, what Wilson is doing as the mayor, and
it's taking,
you know,
the temperature, man.
Stuff like that.
It's taking the temperature.
I don't mind it. And that does have a tie in to an original character from that original series. That was an important character in season 1 and 2, I believe. Yeah. So I like all that. Again, it looks like the grainy 16mm documentary film stuff. Like, I'm a sucker for all that. I think that's kind of all right. They use it a lot throughout the series. I will say that throughout, but I'm kind of okay with it. Michael Gandolfini, maybe the thing that I'm the most iffy on, but I'll have to see the rest of the episodes. But I really do like this kind of, case of the week kind of thing, with some things that carry over episode to episode. Sometimes they're 2-episode arcs. Sometimes they're a single episode arc. We've seen some of the villains that are going to be featured in the show. And I think some of that's really cool, right up my alley. I'm just really enjoying it, at least these 6 episodes, and I'm excited to watch the rest. And I think it is up there with, again, I haven't seen it all, but I do think it's up there with WandaVision and Loki season 2, or both seasons of Loki, of being, like, really quality television. Like, there's a lot of other Disney Plus shows that I've enjoyed, but have been more MCU movies spread out over weeks, where these, I think, really nail down what makes television television and what makes them enjoyable. And cliffhangers can be fun if they don't feel cheap, as long as you tell full episode stories and then have things that carry throughout the season. And And these things should be, I'm fine with one and done things too, but what also makes television great is that you come back to stories and come back to characters each year, right? So it's great that they're already shooting season two right now as we speak, as this is, it just started shooting this week. And yeah, I'm excited for more.
Morehead.
For Morehead. And shout out to those guys. They're becoming like, I think they really nailed it with Loki season two and
Moon Knight, not so much.
That was some stumbling blocks there, but yeah. I feel like they obviously showed promise with Moon Knight and came back and really kicked ass with Loki. And I think, you know, mind you, they only did the pilot or not the pilot, the first episode here and I think they brought them on as producers and stuff like that too. But,
so they'll probably be more involved with season two of Born Again, right? So maybe that will have more, you know, of playing with aspect ratios and sound and the Newton brothers as well do the score and they worked on the score for X-Men 97. And so there's some fun kind of consistency with the animation department.
Side, yeah.
Now I've got another question for you.
Please.
Is Marvel Spotlight dead?
No, because the rumor is that they're doing a Marvel Spotlight for Punisher.
Okay.
So it seems like,
because this is Marvel Television, like this, because it's not Marvel.
The rebrand has been Marvel Animation, Marvel Television, Marvel Studios. Or wait, are you saying Spotlight or what was the other thing that like?
Yeah, Marvel, like Echo, like yeah.
Echo was Spotlight, but what was Werewolf by Night? Special Presentation.
Yeah, because it was a one-off.
So, yeah, I think they're doing a Punisher special presentation. I think they dropped the Marvel Spotlight thing, I think.
Probably for the best.
Because I feel like it was just getting too confusing, right? Like you had too many things. So I think now having Marvel Television, Marvel Comics, Marvel Animation, and Marvel Studios all have the same logo, right? Like they all basically have the same logo. It just says Marvel Studios, Marvel. And you kind of know what those pillars are, right? Marvel Studios, TV, Marvel Animation, clearly the animated stuff, Marvel Television, this. And I think you'll still have a special presentation when they're basically not quite movies, but they don't want to do a full season, right? So we'll get a 45-minute, one-episode Punisher thing, even close to an hour maybe, but it won't be a full movie. And I forget who they announced was doing that, but it was someone that Bernthal's worked with recently, I think.
Looking it up.
I'm going to pull this. Punisher special presentation. Sorry, everyone. Just
my brain is fried, or I'd be able to remember.
Yeah, totally.
Sooner.
Yeah. So, like, I think they'll continue to do that. Very, very cool. I'm trying to find who it was. It was someone who worked on a movie with him recently. Oh, it's Ronaldo Marcus Green.
Oh, for
we own
King
the city,
Richard. Yeah,
Bernthal, but yeah, he also did King Richard, and he did that. Oh God, we saw a movie that he did that wasn't great with Mark Wahlberg. Right? I forget.
Yeah, yeah, the Joe Bell movie.
Yeah, Joe Bell. So yeah, they're doing a Punisher one shot, like a special presentation after this. So, and I'm sure they'll bring back other characters for season two. It'll be interesting to see where they go. I have three more episodes left. Maybe I'll give you guys an update. I'm going to try to finish them before they expire, but we'll see how that goes with some other stuff to get done. But it's really promising. I think it's people who are excited for the show to be back. I hope you enjoyed those first two episodes. And I would say that I think it gets better as it goes on. Like, I feel like each episode I've been like enjoying every single one. And I think what they're revealing and who shows up and all this kind of stuff is very, very, very good.
What thing doing here?
Yeah, I think it's excellent. So we'll see if it sticks the landing, and but I have no doubt that it will. Okay, thank you all for listening.
You didn't ask me what my final thoughts were.
Oh, please do.
I gotta do the Rotten Tomatoes so we can get this on Rotten Tomatoes. So the first two episodes dismantle and rebuild what Netflix previously assembled, borrowing plot elements from Batman Returns and Batman Forever, making it somewhat familiar as a faux docudrama procedural. It's a solid start, but the jury is still out on the series as a whole. I think like there's a lot here that I do like, and especially coming off of Captain America New World Order.
Yeah.
Brave New World, pardon me. But it's like it's a nice kind of palate cleanser in a way where you feel as though, okay, well, at least television right now, they're refocusing and, you know, finding a way to center themselves. I think with film, they're still figuring out like what the next step is ultimately, and maybe Fantastic Four will be that reboot or that recharge that they need in the film world. And with television, people are going to enjoy this. I think there might be some pushback just because of the costume thing. But also, you know, like it gets tired when you just see, you know, the character wearing the costume all the time. Like it's more interesting to watch somebody.
Right?
Yeah. And watch somebody live their life daily. And because it is a street level superhero series, you can get away with that. You can play with that. You can explore New York City from the perspective of someone that is capable of unleashing the beast, unleashing the devil. But what do they have to do in order to, you know, maintain their day-to-day life? Like that stuff I think is just more interesting, more head interesting.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. Please go check out all of our other work over on, you can find it all on Letterboxd, which is Untitled_Movies. You can follow Eric at EM6211 or at ericmarchin.bluesky. Whatever the end of that is on Blue Sky. Me at Matt Rohrbeck. You can check out, we have a bunch of stuff coming this week, actually. Last week it was a little quiet. This week we have this, your Daredevil Born Again press conference and review. Tomorrow, which is March 5th, we're going to have an episode on our experience at WWE Elimination Chamber in Toronto, as well as my trip to LA for the Raw premiere on Netflix. So we'll be talking about all those shenanigans. So that should be really fun. So check that out. Then Thursday, we'll have a review for Bong Joon-ho's Mickey 17. And then Friday, we'll have interviews for Seven Veils that Eric did with Adam McGoyan. And
Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, nice. So busy week. And then we'll have some more stuff next, more head stuff next week. And then Eric will be off for a week, but we'll maybe have some stuff dropping while he's gone, but we'll have to figure all that out. But yeah, it's going to be busy over the next little while. Usually we do like a longer conversation about the MCU, but I feel like we'll hold that until the series is over, and maybe during Thunderbolts or something like that. So
yeah,
we'll be back soon. Please check out for that other stuff. And until next time,
more head, everyone. More head.
God.